You know us, you love us, the Bouncy Boys are back, and we are here to talk about this week's big announcement, Luminous, and this week's big announcement, Iger's departure. That's this week on the Droids. Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris, I am Sam, and it's another two-hander.
Yeah. One hand doesn't see what the other hand is doing.
Well, that's just the state of the pod in general. We seem to never know what's going on, but I'll tell you.
A four-handed monster.
I just want to take a moment to acknowledge to all of our fans out there that we know that this is hard. We know that only having two of us is not as rewarding, and that what you really want is you want to see the whole gang together. You want to see that dynamic bouncing off each other.
You want to see the Gorsum foursome.
You want to see the Gorsum foursome. Just like the beautiful Gorsum foursome that we got in The Rise of Skywalker. You know, Rey, Finn, Poe, and
BB-8.
Claude.
Claude. Oh, nice.
Claude, I like from Claude. The poster.
You know who we don't talk about enough? Claude from the poster. You know who we don't talk about enough is the alien in Lando's ship. When they get in, he goes, okay.
Yeah.
That
guy rules. That guy, look, this is one of many things that is so annoying about this movie. It's not like everybody fell asleep at the wheel. You know, right. There's some amazing puppeteering. It's got the hallmarks of great Star Wars design, but
I hope in upcoming Star Wars projects that we see that guy a little more and how he became a driver and maybe his family. And
we don't really know. You know, I don't know what species he was. We don't know how old this guy was.
I liked him because he reminded me of the shrimp creature in The Muppets. I was like his mouth sure. just kind of moved.
Sure.
So,
I think you bring up a really good point that there's a lot of depth to be mined for prequel territory for this guy, and we don't know his age. I mean, he could be 200 years old, which would put him as someone around during the
High Republic.
The High Republic. Ooh. Exactly. That's the big announcement this
there
week.
There it is.
The big thing we learned this week is we found out what Project Luminous that's been
luminescent over us.
Luminescent. Boy. Okay. Mike, come back. Let's take a moment and say, Mike, these transitions, yeah. man, we're doing our best. I hope you're listening. I hope you're beaming. I hope you're smiling.
Yeah.
I hope you're happy with yourself, because this is what you get. This is the state of the pod.
This is what happens when you get a Bouncy Boys cast. You go up, you go down.
And you just stay down.
Somehow you bounce lower than you went up. Defies gravity.
It's like that... It's like that Saya video. Oh, no, that's not... Wait, I'm conflating... Oh, man, I butchered. I was thinking of the Turn Down for What music video where people just keep crashing through the floor.
Oh,
but then I was thinking of... That building reminds me of, like, the building that the Saya...
Oh, yeah, where she's dancing.
...video with
the
little girl dancing.
Yeah.
Great video. Look, guys, get on your... honestly, everybody, hop on. You're on your phone. Pause the podcast. Go watch a music video from 4 years ago and come back.
There you go. Got any plugs? Other plugs, Sam?
Not that I can talk about. So we got the announcement for Project Luminous this week. We found out that what it is it's this assemblage of writers and creators, largely from it's a publishing, it's a cross-platform publishing event from Star Wars. It's the next sort of step in the Star Wars story now that we have completed the Star Wars the Skywalker saga. And so the project has been this. We knew some of the people involved. We knew that they were writers who have come from the world of comic books and like novels and things, some of that extended universe, I guess the Disney era extended universe world. And it's going to take place during a period 200 years prior to what we've ever seen in any of the Skywalker saga films, during an era called the High Republic, which was largely a time of peace and prosperity in a galaxy far, far away.
Right.
They unveiled this, Chris, I assume you watched this this video, sort of a 4-minute announcement video. What'd you think? What were your big takeaways?
Yeah, no, you know, I'm pretty excited. I think we're kind of reaching for any kind of new Star Wars knowledge. I mean, I think it's a cool idea. I liked it. I do like the kind of the team they assembled. It was cool. I think we saw Pablo Hidalgo. He was in the in the video, and so it's like cool to see some of that team being put to good use with this new phase of world building. I mean, I think it's something Star Wars could have used, honestly, a little bit more of between Jedi and The Force Awakens. I think maybe we rushed the gun a little bit. And is that a phrase?
Yeah, it's a common phrase.
Yeah, rushed the gun.
You know, putting the cart before the rushed gun, as they say.
They rushed the cart. They used an Amazon Express cart. But I like it. I think it's cool. Is it something that gets me super stoked about Star Wars material? Not necessarily, because I know there's going to be a lot of content here, and it's going to feel overwhelming to try and read it all.
That was maybe the most backhanded compliment you've ever given. Am I excited? No, because there's too much to get excited about.
Yeah.
No, look, I don't think anything you're saying is wrong. I will say, I think of the four of us, because we obviously have a text chain running, there's only, you're not going crazy, listener, there's only two of us here, but the other two, Ryan and Mike, are here in Force Ghost spirit.
Yeah. Or Force Ghost memory.
Harrison Ford, if you're listening, we know you don't know what we're talking about right now, but you know what? I don't care.
JJ said we should do this.
Yeah, man.
Should be enough for him.
But I think I was, of the four of us, kind of the least excited, the least amped up for what Project Luminous was going to be. I've never been a big person for the like publishing or extended universe stuff, even though I did read those three books that we all agreed to read together.
Great. They were great.
And they were great. But I think maybe just because I had slightly lower expectations, I was more excited by what I saw. I think the sort of period they're exploring looks really cool. They described, so it's this era of peace and prosperity in the galaxy. The Jedi Knights are, the Order of Jedi Knights sort of function as kind of like a King Arthur's Knights of the Round Table. They're protectors of the known reaches of the galaxy. And they describe them both as Knights of the Round Table and as Texas Rangers, which I thought
kinda
was
fun, yeah.
Covering a few bases there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we know what they mean by that. It gets back to a little bit of what you sort of see in some of the prequels and the Clone Wars TV series of this idea that the Jedi Knights are protectors of order in the galaxy. You know, I agree that it was great to see. They really seem to, you know, pride themselves on having assembled, you know, a diverse group of writers. Mm-hmm. It looks like they've got, you know, men, women, people from, you know, different cultural backgrounds, you know, racial and ethnic backgrounds. So I would anticipate seeing a much more inclusive and representative, you know, group of Jedi and heroes that kind of any one of us who loves Star Wars out there can find sort of our character, find somebody that we see ourselves in, which is exciting. And then the threat, and they said the way they kind of broke the story was, what would the Jedi be afraid of? Was the big driving question, and they came up with the sort of villains of the piece are going to be called the Niles, which is a fairly clear reference to nihilism and that they're a nihilistic race of sort of outer rim folk. We don't know what they're after. We know that they
are after nothing.
Yeah. What does the bear think of the bear talkers? What's that movie? Grizzly Man.
Grizzly the bear talkers.
The bear talkers, you know. Oh, so we kind of we have a shape forming. They're keeping it pretty loose. They're keeping it pretty open for all sorts of storytelling. We saw some designs, which I think was probably the most exciting part to me. We get some visuals. Yeah. We see they make a point in the video to call out Ian McKay, who designed Darth Maul, but they like do that over a shot of them showing Doug Chang, which is like the one that's exciting to me. Is like, this is the guy who designed like the look of everything since 1999. Probably 97 pre-production, but like,
yeah, they don't really call him out either, do they?
Don't say his name. I rewatched it right before we started this record, and they don't name him, and it's like,
yeah, I was super excited when I saw him in the video. I was like, oh, awesome, we'll finally get some of that like class and like excellence that the prequels had in as far as like Coruscant went, and kind of that shiny polish, which I really liked.
I think that, you know, for wherever you fall on the prequels, obviously in Star Wars fandom, they historically were contentious, although that almost seems like a laugh these days. But, you know, no matter where you fall, I think you've got to look at like the work Doug Chang did and kind of sort of stand in awe of it. I mean, he really, he took the visual language that obviously like Ralph McQuarrie is the original, the guy to whom we owe so much of what Star Wars became. And then Doug Chang, like, I think really picked up that ball and ran with it in a beautiful way. I agree, Chris, the shininess, the whole idea of, you know, the way they sort of paired the prequels and the original trilogy with decades. You know, you had the 1970s and the 1950s kind of represent.
Right. And, you know, this is, it's also, this is kind of like a safe space for creatives in Star Wars because it is so early on in the Skywalker saga.
This is not part of the Skywalker
saga.
That concluded with The Rise of Skywalker.
Yes, correct, 9. Correct. Except, it's still the Keystone reference. I think that by doing that, it gives them this kind of like realm where they're allowed to make wild claims or do. They don't have this like responsibility to make connective tissue as much anymore. And I think it's been a while since we've seen that in Star Wars.
I agree completely, and I think, I couldn't have said it better. I definitely think it's freeing. There is a part of me, completely admittedly, there is a part of me that would have loved to have seen them go forward, tell something later, push the story forward, because I do think it can be a bit of a crutch to always be looking to the past, go to the time before, because you've really set yourself, there's a safety net there of, well, we know where we've got to end.
Sure.
But having said that, I do think, you know, going back 200 years, I think I'll share something. You know, Ryan said that, you know, he said, oh, I wish it was farther. I wish it was like 1,000 years or something. Right. And I kind of agree with that too, that it's like, man, really, if you're going to do it, go for it.
This,
you know,
to me feels a little bit like they're kind of canonizing the Old Republic, which I don't believe is in canon lore. So I think this is going to be kind of their maybe more young adult friendly version of the Old Republic. I think we probably won't ever get that far down. Maybe like a decade out from here, they'll have to like visit some new, like get a different kind of audience. But I think that this is going to be, for all intents and purposes, the version of the Old Republic we're going to get in this Disney era of Star Wars.
Yes, I think that may be true. I mean, something else you said a few minutes ago that I just was reminded of, was that, you know, they also in the video, they outright describe this as an incubator for stories, which I think was really an interesting thing. It almost felt like that video could have been talking to shareholders in some way, which we'll get to them in a minute. but the idea that, you know, Marvel Comics has existed for, you know, whatever, 80 years now, longer maybe. And they, you know, I think they would say, they would describe like, well, the comics are still the flagship of these superheroes. That's their medium. You know, the movies are ancillary, but that's really not true these days. You know, these days, the movies kind of drive everything. And the comic books serve as a font of comparatively inexpensive you know, storytelling that then someone like Kevin Feige, along with the team at Disney and his producing partners and everybody, can go yeah. through and really, you know, dig into and pull the best, you
learn
know,
how to pull a movie out of that.
The best nuggets for movies.
Yeah.
And they don't really name it that. They don't call it like it is, right? Because yeah. they need to protect the sort of sanctity of the comics yeah. for the comic fans. But in the Star Wars case, which came as movies first, they're like, no, this is an incubator. We're developing stories.
They're kind of outright saying, hey, we're going to try a lot of different things here. Hopefully some of these stick. No, I think it is a good move, especially with Feige coming on board. Like, I think this would be his wheelhouse. Like, he's going to be able to start to see trends and direction in this High Republic era that he can pull out and start helping develop really cool stories with. Like,
you can see already, you know, from the artwork they've released, you see who they want to cast. You've got your Tom Hardy Jedi, you've got your John Bernthal Jedi, you've got your what's the woman who plays the current Doctor on Doctor Who?
Oh, right, yeah.
She's one of those Jedi, yep. it looks like. Like, yep. you know, they're definitely playing in, like, with some familiar...
Jodie Whittaker? Is that her name?
Yeah, Whittaker's the last name. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
I agree. I think this will be... It will be interesting. I think they're also... I just read they're going to do something new with a Wookiee. We're going to have a Force-wielding Wookiee for the first time.
Say that three times fast.
Yeah, Force-wielding Wookiee. Force-wielding Wookiee. One thing that does bother me about all of the concept art is that a lot of the lightsabers have hilts on them, on the handles.
Like they have the hand guard. Or
yeah, the hand the hand guard, rather, yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. Previously, we'd only ever seen Kylo Ren with the crossbar,
usually you could just slice that right off. But maybe it is made of some kind of Mandalorian-type armor or Darksaber-type material. Where Beskar is involved, and maybe you can't cut it with a lightsaber.
It's possible, or it also seems like it seems like they're maybe retroactively sort of creating a reason that Kylo Ren is modeling his lightsaber after the originals.
Perhaps underneath it is saber. We don't know what's inside of that piece of metal, so.
Maybe underneath it is saber. I couldn't have said it better myself, Chris.
Nah, maybe underneath is saber. But I think that it's going to be interesting. I'm a little nervous that it might. It seems like the build up for it was like there, but then I just hope it doesn't go by the kind of the wayside.
Honestly, this is where I think my like all the build up. As soon as like it sort of sounded to me this whole build up around like Project Luminous, it sounded to me like I was like, this is going to be a publishing event, and yeah. I don't care about those.
Yeah.
And so when I came in with like kind of lower expectations, it made me be like, oh wow, this looks really cool. Yeah. And so I have the kind of I'm on the upswing. I'm kind of hot on it right now. I'm like, this looks cool. The Jedi designs look dope. You know, there's. I love that it's new. I love that there's going to be comics, and there's mm-hmm. just going to be no chance to tie him to Luke and Anakin and well, Leia and all these people.
Yeah, the one kind of quote they've pulled out was Star Wars: The High Republic features the Jedi as we've always wanted to see them as true guardians of peace and justice. I don't know. Is that something we've always wanted to see?
No, I always wanted to see him as Liam Neeson, and I got it in 1999, well, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I think that to me seems maybe it is catering to an audience that's like, oh, Jedi should just be like fighting and doing cool stuff altruistically rather than that kind of introspection that we got from the later trilogy. So
I definitely think we're not going to see a lot of temptation of the dark side.
Yeah.
At least early on. We might get there. Maybe some of the Niles will introduce that, or maybe we'll see. I mean, hey, if this is it, you know, there's an interesting idea where I mean, this could potentially in their current canon exist kind of pre-Sith.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, do we see the formation of the dark side?
Maybe we get some Mortis. Yeah, maybe we get some
so
way back stories. I think it would be cool to see like Yoda coming of age and things like that. I'm sure those are probably some of the big dogs in this realm.
No people have I Alonda. I don't know.
My only question, though, is so if the bad guys are called the Niles, then the good guys must be called the Dr. Fraser Cranes.
Bonus points for that. That's great. And I would end the pod there, except we neglected to talk about one more thing, which is that this project is going to be, you know, overseen by the great and wise Bob Chapek,
who from one Bob to another Bob,
from one Bob to another, the story of Disney. From Mike to Bob to Bob, we had a CEO turnover effective immediately. Bob Iger stepped down this week as of this record. He stepped down effective immediately, elevating Bob Chapek to the role of CEO. Now Iger is going to be staying on as chairman of the board through 2021, but I mean, the timing of this is all very interesting, right?
Yeah.
It was clearly 2019 was like the big year for Disney on film. They kind of ended all the big stuff or brought to logical conclusions for the time being all of their big live action films, and, you know, had some huge animated sequels. They really did it. You know, Iger obviously released his book, kind of his memoirs.
Mm-hmm.
They announce Project Luminous, and then he steps down. Chapek takes over, and then they announce that Spielberg's leaving from Indiana Jones. It's kind 5. Of a,
yeah, I mean, they definitely may have sold this guy. No, I'm just kidding. It's an old bait and switch. I think how could someone like Iger kind of top himself? I know Mike will probably have a lot to say on this. I know he's followed his career kind of closely, so, but just kind of on the surface level reactions, like, he did give Disney and perhaps like just Hollywood maybe one of the biggest years that it will ever have in the foreseeable future. So I think leaving on this high note makes a lot of sense. But you're right, this could have a ripple effect. You know, I don't know if the Spielberg thing is necessarily related, but it could be a kind of a changing of the guard happening across the board.
Yeah, I don't know that it's. I'm not certainly willing to say that it's related either. I think what we can say is related is the timing of all this. Right, these announcements came, you know, and are carefully being managed and timed out by Disney PR. So there's a reason they want us seeing, you know, things in the sequence that they want us seeing them, and we can read into that what we want. I definitely agree. I think, you know, Mike is kind of the expert on, he's a little bit of an Iger expert. You know, my immediate reaction, it's so wild that I'm so frosty towards The Rise of Skywalker that it was like, I kind of just had a knee jerk, like, good riddance. And that's because there was all this speculation of what, sure, you know, what hand Iger had in the creation of that film and the scheduling of that film. And I'm just angry about it. But I actually think the bigger point is that when you look at the acquisitions this guy has made, you know, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, Lucasfilm, you know, it's like he really, from a business standpoint, is something kind of to marvel at. That was Marvel twice. That's too much. Something to Marvel be amazed sandwich by.
Yeah.
And so I'm really interested for Mike's take on all this. It's certainly, you know, I think what we're talking around was something you said just as we were getting started, Chris, that, you know, if Spielberg is walking away and going to be in a producerial kind of oversight role, currently speculation is that James Mangold might be the director on Indiana Jones 5. Mm-hmm. But if he's stepping back, you know, obviously after the sale, Lucas, who, you know, had all these ideas for the sequel trilogy, you know, he stepped back. You know, I'm sensing some anxiety around Kathleen Kennedy. You know, this is all moving very, very fast.
Not to pile on the existing rumor mill there, but I mean, it does seem like it would be a good stop measure here to kind of change over hands, and maybe and as an amazing a job as she does. And I mean, she's probably the greatest, if not one of the greatest producers of all time in like the history of films. Like, maybe it would be good though if Star Wars is starting this new chapter to just give it a true kind of fresh start.
Yeah, I look, they have, what I need to remember is that they have, over the last two decades, really, you know, Disney has given me, has produced some of the movies I've loved most. It's been a little rocky recently. I'm on a bit of a low note. Oh, right. The other thing, he also launched Disney Plus. So, like,
yeah.
I mean, the guy's really, you know, really nailed
very
it.
Prolific,
he opened,
yeah.
He opened Star Wars Land. He opened Avatar Land.
Yeah.
You know, everything. But, you know, we're in for a new era, and we'll have to see what, I'm also just remembering now, like, do you think that, like, some of the senior leadership at Disney, like, had to go in and have their annual review with the Bobs, like, from Office Space?
Yeah, the two Bobs. Are you familiar with Michael Bolton?
Michael Bolton?
He loves the whole catalog.
Eisner?
yeah, no, I would hate to see her leave, though. So I think this could just be, I mean, this is probably more business than film business, but it's just a changing of the guard. And you know what? With a new head honcho, maybe we'll see some positive change in Star Wars.
I mean, I think the one thing we can be sure of, and I think this is a good thing, is that I think Kevin Feige's job is safe, and I think that the Marvel films have been really kind of an incredible achievement over the last, you know, 10 years. And he's dipping his toe into the world of Star Wars, so I'm excited to see, you know, what we get out of that. It sounds like we are going to get a new Indiana Jones movie with Harrison Ford, which is exciting. You know, it probably... something of a sequel to Call of the Wild. What do you think they're thinking about releasing Call of the Wild in theaters, like, now, right after they released Togo on Disney Plus, which I heard was actually really good.
I heard
Togo was pretty good.
I think it's funny. I mean, we talked a little bit about that and Harrison Ford petting that man.
right. But I think Togo has, like, real dogs, right?
Yeah, Togo probably has... I think it does have real dogs. Yeah, I think... Is this Disney's, like... Netflix style competition against cinemas? Like, they have a fast track to knowing probably what's going to be released given their network. So I feel
like they're both Disney.
Is Call of the Wild Disney?
They're both Disney. Are you looking this up to check me?
I'm looking it up. Is it? No, it's 20th Century. Oh, but it's 20th Century Fox. So yeah, it would be. That's what had me confused. I forgot about that. Interesting.
Wait, which one was 20th Century Fox? Call of the Wild? Or
Call of the Wild, yeah.
Okay.
But it is.
Okay,
but it
so
is,
they had these two dog movies in production.
So yeah, I was gonna say when they bought Fox, or I should 20th Century Studios, I should say, as it is called now. So they probably had this movie lined up and were like, hey, just so you know, we got Harrison to do this movie as well.
Yeah. Well, look, hey, I'm glad the guy's finally getting some work, finally making some money.
Yeah. I'm in for it. Maybe I'll see it this weekend.
Yeah. Sounds great. Sign me up. Chris, any other thoughts? Look, I feel like we covered, this is the big news. I mean, the other thing that happened this week, you know, first episode of Clone Wars is out. I have not watched it yet. I'm still working on my catch up because we knew we weren't going to talk about it this episode. So, you know, if you're, you know, tweeting at us at Droids Pod or commenting on any Instagrams at Droids Pod or, you know, Facebook or iTunes or anything, you know, don't spoil where they're going yet. We know where it all ends.
I'm also working on my ketchup, but that's a homemade ketchup that I'm producing in my house. So
I just kept talking because I knew you were going to say that.
But I'll get that recipe honed in so Sam we can enjoy that with some French fries. But yeah, maybe I'll double dog it this weekend and watch back to back Togo and go see the Call of the Wild.
Sounds good, man.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, I got nothing else to say on this. I think Luminous looks cool. I think Bob Chapek. How do we say the guy's name? I don't even know. Look, good luck to you, sir. Good luck to you. Big Bob C. Big Bobby C.
From Bob to Bob. That should be the Mike's side podcast, From Bob to Bob.
From Bob to Bob with just Mike and Mike, and we bring Michael Eisner in to co-host it with him.
Mike and Mike talk about Bob and Bob. Yeah, I like it. No, I think
Mike's on Bob's.
It's exciting to see what's going to happen next with Star Wars, and all these kind of changes always bring up new opportunities. So, as always, there's hope in the galaxy. I can't wait to start digging into some of these books. And also, I want to see how they kind of tie into the line of comics that Marvel's already producing, to see if there's going to be any like expansion of that team to Marvel and further on.
I'm curious. I mean, I think it's a lot of the same team. I'm guessing that they're kind of winding down the existing publications. I'm guessing that they're winding down the Skywalker Star Wars stuff, and the next movement is going to be all High Republic.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Then Feige's like all after do that for like 5-6 years, then call in Kevin and he'll just pick out 4 movies.
Call in Kevin.
There it is.
Sam and Ryan. You don't get to be on it.
wow. Well, there you go. That's a Bouncy Boys cast.
That's a Bouncy Boys. We're up, we're down, we're down, we're down further, we're staying down. And
I'm gonna put an official motion. Oh, I'm sorry.
Get out there and get some other folks subscribed, rate and review, on iTunes. You know, if you're enjoying our podcast, that helps us. That helps us rank more highly. It helps us get bring in new listeners, build the community. That's what we're looking to do. So we really, really appreciate it. Every review counts. It means a lot. It takes just a few minutes of your day. And I think that'll do it for this edition of The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. What they
throw? Double dog. Annie.
Targa. I guess like Togo's like the dog. Apparently, like Togo's like the real dog that they made the animated movie Balto. But like Balto is like it's like all stolen valor. Like Balto didn't do anything. Togo did everything.
Well, Togo is what you do when you order seamless, but you pick it up.